Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
I have a workflow button with Leo's face on it.
I'll show you a new game you can play with your iPad.
And a fake Pokemon Go that will let you focus your mind.
I got the real Pokemon Go on iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. You can save $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/iOS today and using the promo code iOS Today at checkout. Hello, hello, hello. It's time for iOS Today, the show where we cover the latest news from Apple about iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches, and Apple TVs. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Megan Maroney.
And we're here to regale you with tales of workflow.
Yes, Bob sent us an email saying,
Hello, Bob.
Can you tell us how to do some workflow so we're all ready for iOS 12?
Now, we also got an email from somebody who said, can you stop talking about iOS 12 because I don't have it yet and I don't want to put it on because you keep telling me not to. Actually, it's a little bit more stable now. So if you wanted to do the public beta for iOS 12, we've had a couple of updates now. Mm-hmm. It's a little more stable. But what we're going to show you doesn't require iOS 12. Some of it you can start with today with the workflow app.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's just preparing, getting a hang of it.
Yeah, it's good to learn the workflow app. And in fact, a lot of what we show you today may change by the time iOS 12 comes out in the fall.
Right, but I think that the developer beta, some people have the shortcuts developer beta. So workflow will turn into Siri shortcuts. Some people have it. Federico Vittici from Mac Stories, he's been making all kinds of workflows. I tried to get the developer beta on an old iPhone, but I couldn't get it. But that's great, because you don't want to see iOS 12, because you don't have it yet.
It's still workflow. They just call it shortcuts now. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen of shortcuts, it looks exactly like workflow. So what we're going to show you is probably not too far off. One thing you won't have until you get iOS 12 is Siri suggestions. Mm-hmm. And they do kind of belong together, because Siri suggestions are the things Siri can do in conjunction with other apps. And until you have that, workflow is somewhat limited. In fact, workflow was limited always because it wasn't an Apple product originally. And only Apple can do some of the things that you might want to do, connect to, things that your iPhone or iPad know and things like that.
Like Apple Music.
Yeah. So workflow is a little limited. It uses a little trick on iOS called URLs, clickable URLs, and by using those URLs to dispatch messages to apps, it can do a lot of very interesting things. So we can talk a little bit about workflow, but again, this may change. This certainly will get more capable when iOS 12 comes out, mm-hmm. and you'll also get this Siri suggestions thing. I think we do have Siri suggestions in the public beta of iOS 12.
You mean, did it just suggest what you might want to use?
Yeah. So the idea is that Siri kind of pays attention to what you're doing and can make suggestions based on some of the things you're doing. I think that came with the latest public beta.
Well, Siri app suggestions, is that what you're talking about? Because those have been around since iOS 11.
No. App suggestions suggests here's some good apps you would like.
Or apps that you have been using.
Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about. This is a new feature of Siri. Maybe they don't call it suggestions. Where it will remember she showed that she liked every morning to stop and get a mint mojito coffee at Pete's, right? And that was a Siri suggestion. Siri noted, and Pete's communicated it to Siri, I gather, that you have to have the Pete's app on there. But she noted that you always, at a certain time, launch the Pete's app and ordered a product. So she suggested, would you like me from now on to remind you to do that? Or would you like me to actually actively do that? So that's the first part, is the automated piece. And the reason I think that's important is because most people are not going to delve into an application. In fact, once we show you workflow, you may say, I'll never do that.
Well, but you have to have that coding mind, right?
It's a little bit, it's coding, yes. So it's a little bit maybe conceptually difficult. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be something you'll want to use if you want to kind of mess a little bit with the Siri suggestions or add to them. So it's probably good to look at it. Should we play a little bit with it? Right now,
no,
workflow.
We don't have it. I mean, we don't have it on the, it's on the developer beta, but I don't think it's, you mean Siri suggestions or what you're talking about, but workflow we have.
Yes.
So do you want to.
So we don't have suggestions yet. That comes, that's not yet in the public beta. Okay. Well, this is workflow. And so workflow you can get because it's just a download. Apple bought this and this is what's going to become shortcuts in the new iOS 12. I think we're making this more confusing than it really is.
Should we show the workflow app or should we show what the what?
Go ahead. You do whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I promised the button that
show me the button with my head on it.
Here it is. Text Leo. So there's your face.
Yeah.
And I made this workflow that whenever I want to send you a text message, I just press it. And there it opens a text message to Leo Laporte.
That's the end result, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So, what keyboard is that?
Is that the workflow keyboard? No, this is one of the keyboards we had last week.
Oh, okay.
Week.
Yeah, that's a very simplified looking keyboard.
Yeah, it's something
Search
fancy.
Highlights. Okay.
I just did that through the workflow app.
Yeah. So now let's show them how you did that.
Okay. Let's show them how I did that.
You have a lot of workflows.
I do have a lot of workflows. I've been workflowing all over the place.
When you first launch workflows, it'll make some suggestions for you. And you might want to take a few of those just to see kind of an outline of how it works. And there's also a workflow gallery that will give you some suggestions. But let's see how you made the Leo head.
So create a workflow. And then I have all of these choices over here that are suggested. And then I chose send message. And then I can just, I think I slide it over here. Is that what I do? Yeah, just like a drag and drop kind of coding thing. And then I would do the settings. And I want to name it. Text Leo. Do, do, do. And then, I already have. Okay, text Leo again. Because he's ignoring
me. Or you could just put two. Okay.
And then I'm done with that. And then it should give me options. So I would search for Leo. And then I would choose this Leo. And I could send a text to many people. And then ask when run. So yes. Ask me when it's, what is that?
Okay. So you have two choices. You can either hardwire my name in there.
Yes.
Or you can say, when you run this, who would you like to send this message to?
Okay, you're right. So here's one where I can text anyone, and then I would just hit play to run it. And then I would enter that, whoever the recipient is, and then that's it. And then, so it would just be like, basically I recreated the text message app there. So not too fancy. But there are more complicated ones to make. I like going through the gallery and just adjusting the ones that are there. Everything I needed to do, I found, was already there.
Yeah.
So
let me just show you from the beginning, kind of what you're looking at with workflow.
Okay.
So instead of starting, although I agree that's a good way to start, is start with some existing ones. But when you start it completely blankly, you'll see kind of a little bit more about the options. You can create what you just did, which is a normal workflow. And you can, if you wish, save that workflow as an icon on the desktop, which is exactly what you did. Mm-hmm. You can also put it in the Today widgets. You know, that's at the... And by the way, this is one good thing about workflow. It has a lot of help. So don't feel too at sea. If you ever get lost, you press the question mark, it'll give you some more information. So the Today widget, you know, is when you slide over. So you could put a workflow there. That's actually a good idea. You can do both if you want. And then you can also make it an action extension. It becomes part of the share sheets. So you can tell an application, you know, I would like to add this to that, or I would like to text this to that, or that kind of thing. So you have to decide it at the beginning, although you can modify this. And again, always press the question mark if you have any questions about this, because so Today widget workflows are run in the notification center, action extension are run from the share sheet, Apple Watch workflows?
I have a ton of, I have them as a complication on my watch.
Yeah. Isn't that sweet?
So you can see, so I could just press that and then I could text Leo, or I have my laundry timer, my water timer, my directions home. So it's right there on my Apple Watch to text you. You're going to get a lot of text messages from me.
So with workflow, you're going to drag an action, as you pointed out, from the left into the main thing. Now, you may see this workflow does not, in this case, I want to take a picture, have access to your camera so I can grant access. And, of course, now I'm going to get more information in there. So what happens is this is an action that has an output. And the output of the action, every action has an input and an output. The input, of course, for take a picture is the picture. The output then goes into something else, the next action. So we're adding these next actions one by one to this. And I'm just going to, do you want to send a message? Let's send
a
message.
You're making a GIF.
So let me show you again what's going on here. So this is the take photo action. And by the way, if you tap the little icon, you'll get a little help for what's going on. So in the take photo, it'll say usually an input and an output. In this case, it's obvious, uses the camera to take photos. The result is the photos from the camera. That's what's going to flow into this. So you see each thing, it's a recipe, right? One after the other. So we can choose some, within any given action, there'll often be options, front camera or back camera. Let's use the back camera. And, you noticed that, you saw that before, ask when run. That's so you can have an option during the running of the thing. How many photos to take. Now we're going to look at this one. This says creates an animated GIF from the images passed into the action. So we're taking what's coming out of this, passing it into, this is where it's kind of like programming, because you're taking an output from one action and passing it to the next and then acting on it. So we're going to take input, and this is the kinds of input it can take, and then the result, which will be an animated GIF. That animated GIF is then passed to Quick Look, and let's take a look at what Quick Look does. Does it displays a preview? Input is the file, result is the output. So you could see you could use Quick Look for more than just camera pictures. You can use it for a lot of things. And then finally, it's going to send a message of that animated GIF. So this would be a way to take three, what this does is takes three photos from the back camera, turns it into an animated GIF, lets you preview it. You could take that out if you didn't want to. Just press the X button.
I want to preview it before I send a message.
Maybe you don't want to preview it. And then you can send the message. These are the actions. You can, and this is where you were able to put my face as an icon.
And you can
name it,
sure.
Add it to the home screen, the launch center. You can share it with other people. And notice you can change this workflow even as you're saving it. Mm-hmm. So you can save it all three ways if you want. I don't, for some reason, have the watch workflow on here. It must be probably because I haven't installed workflow on my watch. So you want to install workflow on your watch to have that. Shall we play it and just see what happens? So we're going to take three pictures. Boom. 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 Now it's making the GIF, so it's actually working on it.
Whoa.
Okay. And that's the, by the way, that's the Quick Look, mm-hmm. right? Done. And now that animated GIF is in here. If I had wanted to, I could say that message would automatically go to Megan, right? Mm-hmm. Just as you did with yours.
Or automatically post to Facebook or Twitter or any number of things.
So that in short is how it works. Of course, these can be a lot more complicated. And to see the kinds of things they can do, it's not a bad idea to go to the gallery. You'll see up at the top my workflows in the gallery. And you can see there's quite a few that would give you a better idea of, you know, what you can do. This is a fairly complicated one. See, email schedule to yourself. You find the calendar events where it's today and it's not all day, which means it's an event with a timer on it. Calendar is the holidays in the United States. I'm not sure why they added that. You can sort it if you wish. The limit means how many if you only want five, you can limit it to five. Whoops, let's go back and look at that. Get details of the calendar event. And this is a complicated one. This is, programmers will recognize, repeat with each. It takes a list of items, in this case the calendar items, as an input, and runs these actions once on each of them. So that's a programming construct that you'd see. If you're a programmer, you see that a lot. Take this bunch of stuff and do something to each one. And so the output is, of course, every item passed to this. So this is a complicated one. Get the details. We're going to actually use variables. You can see how sophisticated this can get. If you've done any programming, you'll see that's a really nice feature, because it will set a variable, then it can get a variable. So you're going to set a variable that's the title, and then you're going to get a variable that's the repeat item. You're going to look at all this. This is a very good one to look at if you want to see all the sophistication that's possible. Look at all these steps just to do email schedule to yourself.
That's the thing. Like I looked at all the complicated ones, and I found that the simple ones make a lot more sense to me. Like, did you know that you can't ask Siri to turn on your flashlight? You can't, like, say,
right,
you know, turn
but you
on
can
your,
make a workflow.
You can make a work. So I made a workflow that on my phone, and I just press that, and it turns on my flashlight.
So, yeah.
Beep.
So you're right, and that's the whole idea of these Siri suggestions when they come out, is that they'll be pre-made workflows for you that make sense. And it is true. There's a lot of things that you would think that Apple would have given you. Even just say, what time is it? You mm-hmm. can't do what time is it. You can't say, hey, Siri. No, you can't do, what can you do? You can't do, Siri, what day is March 3rd? Mm. You can't say, Siri, what time is it in Tokyo? But you can set workflows up to do all of those things. And once we get the Siri suggestions, Siri will now be empowered to act on those workflows. Mm-hmm. So you will be eventually say, hey, Siri, turn on the flashlight, right?
Yeah, and I think that you...
Can you do it now?
No, I can't do it now.
But that's going to be something in iOS 12.
Yeah, so I've made that, and so now, you know, I can do that.
You have to press a button.
Yeah.
But eventually, you'll be... And this is, to me, this is really the big thing about this in iOS 12. Apple's been challenged because Siri is not nearly as capable as Google Home Assistant, even as Amazon Echo and many things. It's a little bit of a laggard. So one way to do it would be for them to write a lot of stuff and put more features into it. This is very smart. This lets Siri get smarter on its own by watching what you do and by you installing apps that Siri can then get to know and work with, and then give you the capability of adding abilities to Siri easily, much more easily than on an Amazon Echo or a Google Home. So without much programming, just a little bit like this. Mm-hmm. So I think what Apple's really doing is letting Siri get smarter in, I think, a very smart way. And it's, to me, the most exciting thing about iOS 12, frankly, is this workflow and Siri suggestions or shortcuts and Siri suggestions. Here's that long email thing. I understand it's a little intimidating, but what I would suggest, if you've never done any, if you're a programmer, you will immediately recognize, and maybe it'll be a little hard to get used to it. If you've ever used Automator on a Macintosh, for instance, this is very much like Automator on a Macintosh. But if you've ever done any programming, you'll pretty quickly get what's going on here. If you haven't, this is kind of an interesting way to get introduced to programming. A lot of the things that this is doing are things programs need to do. And by understanding what's happening, I think the getting and setting of variables, for instance, is probably the most challenging thing. Remember, you can always tap the icon to understand what the action is. Try to figure out what these are doing. Slowly step through them to get an idea. And you might get a better, I think it might give you a better handle of what you might be able to do. You really can do an awful lot. These are all the actions that you can do with this. And actually, you'll see even more if you get to special variables. There's all sorts of additional features. This is the kind of thing that an investment of time in learning, I think, would pay off greatly. And I'm really excited that this is going to be much more accessible to everybody in the future. So these are the apps you can work with. Imagine this list getting longer and longer and longer because Siri's now, the Siri suggestions and shortcuts are going to really interact with any app that adds that feature to the app. And I pray the developers will take advantage of this. That's what it's really going to come down to, is if the people who write the apps add the little hooks to do this, that's going to be very, very good.
The way I see it is it's sort of like a Rube Goldberg sculpture. Like
think of it that way, yeah.
So it's like you have to start it somewhere, and then it does this, and then it does this, and this, right. And this. As opposed to something like if this, then that, which is a little different. I think that's more automated from the beginning. Like, if that just happens, then this and this and this happens. As opposed to workflow, you always have to start it.
Right.
Like, you have to always do something to start it. So that's what makes it different. Because, you know, with IFT, I could say, like, well, when I get home,
right.
Make sure you turn on the lights and start the
Well, again, that's, you know, that's one of the things that's going to change in 12, because it's going to, Siri suggestions will say, I notice at 9 a.m. you always have a mojito coffee. And would you like me to do that right. automatically?
So it's going
to
say, because that's when I look at workflow, I think, like, what do I want? Like, I can't even, it's like, what do I need? What do I need to automate? Like, do I need to turn the flashlight off? That's what I'm looking for Siri to know, the weird things
It'll
that I do throughout
that.
My
yeah,
day. Whatever exactly. My Rube Goldberg machine is of the day, which is different than yours.
Right.
So, but I did find some, I really like the convert burst to GIF button.
Yeah.
I've
That'll look a lot
workflow.
Like the one that we just did with the camera, right?
You're right, but then pictures. It finds a photo that you've already taken. Yeah. So it's a little bit. So I found like this photo, let's see, that of the party for Padre when he left. And you had already gone, so you're not in this photo. But it was a burst. So it wasn't three pictures, but I had taken a burst. And then I can automatically turn that into a GIF. So there's the GIF. And then I want to save it to photos, and I've already shared that on Twitter. So I could also share it to you, Leo, if I wanted to.
Workflow can go out and search for stuff on the internet. So you can use it to find things. So, for instance, this is a guitar chord finder. You'll be asked for input. Again, programmers will recognize this. What it'll do is display, well, I can actually play it and you'll see. It displays a little dialogue saying, well, what do you want? What chord do you want? And then it goes out on the internet and does a search. And if a tablature for that chord is available on the internet, it will show it. So that is pretty cool. It got this from the internet. So if you look at that and see how that works, you'll see that's pretty sophisticated. Pretty cool stuff. But do look at it, because there's some complicated things that you might need to do. For instance, if you just gave it a URL without encoding it, you know, it might not work and things like that. And this where workflow really falls short is, and programmers will recognize this, it doesn't have a very good debugging system. So when you're creating larger programs like this and they don't work, the challenge of getting it working is significant. And a debugging system will help you a little bit figure out where it's going wrong, what it's doing wrong. This doesn't have one simple thing, and I'm hoping Apple will add that, the ability to step through this. You notice when I press play, it does the whole thing. What I'd like to do is one by one see the input and the output of each of these actions. That would be so helpful. It would give you so much of a better idea of where you're going wrong. It's a little thing like that that can make a huge difference in making workflow good. I think one of the limitations of workflow, the biggest limitation, is it wasn't an Apple product.
Mm-hmm.
And so third-party apps on any iOS device are severely limited in what they can do. Once it's an Apple product, it can do anything they want. And I have a feeling the workflow we see today, which is essentially the same as the one Apple bought, is going to be very much changed when we get iOS 12 and it becomes shortcuts. I hope so, anyway.
I also use one that where I can log my water. So my exercise is automatically logged through my Apple Watch when I start it. But I'm also trying to drink more water. So instead of just like writing it down on a piece of paper, I have this workflow that I did not create. It was, again, in the gallery. But I just tap log water, and then it asks me, did you drink 8, 12, 16, 24, whatever I drank. And then it logs it into the health app. So hydration is actually part of the health app, but there's no easy way to get that in. But I just have this workflow, and then I just play it, and then I say 8 ounces of water, and it's done. And I've logged how much water. Unfortunately, there's no workflow to make me drink water. I have to do that by myself.
One other thing you might want to look at, workflow, when iOS 11 came out, added drag and drop. So this is, again, people who are used to Automator on the Macintosh will say, oh, that's great. You can use the new drag and drop in iOS to drag a file or the contents of a file onto a workflow. Now, of course, the workflow has to know what to do with that, but you can design workflows to do all sorts of things with drag and drop, and that's really cool, too. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling, in fact, I'm sure of it, that most iOS users have no idea workflow exists. Those who do downloaded it, tried it, and of those, probably 90% said, what? No. The 10% of the 90%, or the 1% of the 10% that actually end up using workflow, I'm sure have made some really interesting workflows, and we'd love to see them. If you want to share them with us, you can email them along to us, because there's some really cool stuff out there. Here's a, yeah.
I have the play playlist, because that's helpful, because sometimes you open Apple Music and you know, have no idea what it's playing. And like, you've had right. that problem too.
Right.
So you can set it, so then instead of using the Apple Music app to play, you can just use the workflow to play playlist. So I have that one on mine, and I just go boop, and it plays a specific playlist. In this case, I chose top 25 most played, but you can choose from any of your playlist. If, for example, I want to play songs that make me cry,
aww.
I can do that. And
obviously, you have to have created that playlist.
Yes.
Otherwise, it doesn't really know what makes you cry. Mm-hmm. This makes you cry?
Mm-hmm. No, that's actually one
I've
of
learned
my
to slam on the brake.
You probably didn't appreciate me saying
that. Is this teaching Annabella how to drive?
Yeah, yes.
That makes me cry. Sure.
That is from the Dear Evan Hansen, I think.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
So, yeah, I just go, for if you're like me, go through the gallery, find things that look interesting, and then adjust them to your liking. If you're like Leo, then make something super complicated.
Well, you can also start with something super complicated. And then try it and see if it works. Workflow also will allow you to log in and save your workflows, which is really handy because when the sync is turned on, that means every one of your devices will get these workflows. And that's something really neat because you probably want to work on workflows on something big like an iPad. Mm-hmm. But having them on your iPhone is really handy. Or your watch. I got to install this on my watch.
Yeah, the one that I find handy on my watch too is there's a laundry timer.
Ah.
So if you set it, then you can, it'll say, like, let's say your laundry takes 30 minutes. Here, let's just press laundry timer. How many minutes for the laundry? You can say whatever, however long it takes. And then you'll get a reminder when the laundry's done. So instead of, like, setting a 30-minute timer or setting a 35-minute timer, it's like, that's my laundry timer. And maybe you have a timer for other things that take 40 minutes or things that take 50 minutes, those kinds of things. So.
Cool.
I like it, and I can't wait to see what it is going to do in iOS 12.
Yeah, they it's clear that Apple realized not most people are, like, I think I was generous when I said 1% of 10%. Most people are never going to do these. So having it automate this a little bit and do them automatically is really a great feature. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Start playing with it now, though. I think you're going to find it's going to be a very useful tool for you. And once you understand what's going on, the ability to customize this really is powerful. It's actually more. It's funny. There's. It's frustrating for people like you who haven't programmed to go into it because it's a hot, like what? But, and it's frustrating for people like me who have programmed because it isn't. It's a strange environment. And while it has features of programming, it has things missing that you go. But. So it's frustrating for people who are experienced and inexperienced. I don't know who it's not frustrating for, in other words. But I'm putting it on my watch right now. Now, I gather once I've put it on my watch, I could, let's say, have this calculate tip workflow, and I could now I can add it to my Apple Watch.
And then it can be a complication.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you only have one workflow complication at a time?
No, I have it just for, weirdly, I don't exactly know. So it's one complication, and that's my log water one. And when I press it, it shows. It just does the log water. Yeah.
Nice.
So, but then it also will show me.
But you
when
could
I
have other
done,
workflow complications
my,
as well.
My text Leo is there. I can
Got it.
Send a text message.
Got it.
To
okay.
You
cool.
That sort of thing.
Cool.
We should wish a happy 10th birthday to the App Store.
Yeah, today's the day.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? July 10th, 2007, 2008. The iPhone came out. In 2007, remember, in about June of this year, of that year. And at the time, they said, no, you don't need apps. You just need websites.
Yeah, web apps.
Web apps.
Web apps.
You put a shortcut on there, and that feature still lives, that you can take a website and put it on the home screen. Then Apple, about a year later, Steve Jobs saw the light and said, all right. I think he fought it. He said, all right, we can do an app store. And it's turned out to be an incredibly, not only valuable to Apple, it drives probably the lion's share of Apple's $9 billion quarterly revenue from services. So it's a profit center for Apple. It's also created a whole new economy for app developers. It's got a lot of people interested in programming, and it's added a huge amount of functionality to iOS. Without the App Store, iOS wouldn't be nearly as exciting and interesting. I mean, it's a great gaming platform. Those are all apps. Here's the funny thing. What comes around goes around. Web apps are coming back with something called progressive web apps. And in the next year or two, Apple's decided to support it. Google and Microsoft are all in on it. You'll see more and more of these. Put this app on your homepage, this website on your homepage, because they will be much more like actual apps. Very, very exciting. Apple claims it's created 2 million jobs. That's 2 million people trying to make a living off the App Store. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I mean, it has come a long way. And then we just got finished talking about workflow that sort of, here are all the things that you could get an app for. Like someone will charge you 99 cents to have an app that does this, this and this, or you just sort of create it in workflow.
When workflow came out, it was kind of an eye opener because nobody thought you could do anything like that on iOS. They thought, oh, no, you can. But in fact, you can. And Apple was very smart to buy them because they figured out a lot of stuff Apple doesn't have to figure out. I can't wait to see what they do with shortcuts.
Well, the other thing about Workflow is it was a paid app, and I don't think it was like 99 cents. I feel like
it was expensive.
Now it's free.
Yeah.
But before they bought it, it was paid. And so it was in a time when you really didn't think you needed to pay, unless you were a real, true professional. You didn't really want to pay $9.99 for an app necessarily.
Just to write computer programs.
Yeah. Like I was like, $9.99 and then I have to do work?
I'd be very, again, if you're a programmer, you go, and then you get to it and you go, mm-hmm. But I would be very interested to see what workflows people have created, especially the really interesting, innovative stuff. I have a feeling that there's a lot there. Certainly, the other irony is that Apple has always really supported this, first with AppleScript and then Automator on Mac OS. But it was a little more than a year ago, they decided to kind of give up on it, and they let go of Sal Segoyan, the guy who created Automator and was the king of AppleScript. They said, we've eliminated your position. Sal's gone on. He works for the Omni Group, and he's doing a great job there. But Apple seemed to be turning their back on that kind of automation on Mac OS, and now they're embracing it on iOS. It's very confusing. My insiders, people who work at Apple, say, that's really two different groups, the iOS group and the Mac OS group. And there's this kind of prejudice in the iOS group that, nothing the Mac OS group did could be of importance to us. So they're reinventing the wheel a little bit.
iOS 11.4.1 is out.
Big deal upgrade too, right?
It's not a huge upgrade, but it does. The thing that everyone's talking about is that USB restricted mode that could stop people like Cellebrite from gaining access to secure iPhones. So that was what we assume Cellebrite were the people that gained access to the iPhone that the FBI was demanding that Apple open up after the San Bernardino murders. So if you're a hacker that uses the USB, like plugs in a phone to crack it through a USB, then you're out of luck. You got to find another way, and I'm sure you will.
Or get to it within the first hour.
Right. that's one way. But I think there's a fix to Find My AirPods. People were having that not work.
Oh.
Other than that, yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could find my AirPods.
Do you not know where yours are?
Yeah, they're somewhere.
That's how I feel about mine. I know they're somewhere.
They're somewhere. I don't think I've lost them.
I don't think I've lost them.
They're, but some, I got to put my name on them. I don't want to, but I got to put my name on it. Somebody keeps borrowing.
Oh, it's not me because I don't know where mine are. Mm-hmm. Plus, mine have little hole-punched Band-Aids on them to try to keep them in my ears. So you wouldn't want those anyway. Apparently, we're learning nothing about security. Polar, which was a fitness app, doxed a bunch of soldiers. It was apparently very easy to go onto this website and figure out where people in the military and anyone was, if they were using this specific part of the
polar. Was it sharing where they are?
Basically, yeah. And not only that, but they had it, there were sessions that they had updated the privacy, and so some people could go in and set it to not be private, but then the old sessions were still available, so it didn't go back
that's
in time.
Not good.
And also, like, I'm getting a little tired of this excuse of, like, oh, well, we told you. You opted into it. It's your fault.
Privacy should be default, not public.
Right.
And you mentioned that before with Venmo, where if you're using Venmo, the default is that everything you do on Venmo is published publicly. All the Venmo lets you send money to people. And you would just naturally assume that that's private, right? And it says public, private on it. But you just, if you're not paying attention, I bet most people are sending money with Venmo and not paying any attention. The default should always be private. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's public. And it bothers me. Yeah.
I mean, the frustrating thing with this polar thing is this exact same thing happened with Strava like 6 months ago in January. It was exposing all of this information of people that didn't. You could tell what they were doing. Like maybe what their address, you could tell their name, geolocation. It was 6,400 users. And then Polar, I don't know. I didn't love their response. They said like the information was not leaked. Like they just took offense to the term leak.
Well, they're right. It's not leaked. If you're set for public, it's public.
Right.
That's like somebody tweeting and saying, what? Other people can read it?
But they... They obviously didn't make it clear enough to these people working in the military that their information would be. I don't know.
Or the people working in the military more likely didn't care. And then somebody wrote an article about it, and then everybody got all upset. And it's not a leak. It's any more than if you publish, put something on Twitter and people read it, it's a leak.
Right. But I know that it's not a leak. But I think that the company should... not respond with, like, this is your fault and take issue with, like, semantics.
No, they should... No, because it's clearly public. You're sharing your data. That's public. What they should have done, though, is fix it properly so that if you unshare it, it unshares everything. So that that's hidden. I mean, but again, that's a normal behavior. If you say, I want to be... For instance, if you've been using Venmo and all that stuff had been public and you said, now I want everything to be private, well, only from that point on would it be private. Mm-hmm. This is how computers work. I'm slow to blame Polar for this because that's the problem is, especially with iOS, there's a lot of people who have no idea what's going on. The normal people who are just clueless, and so they go, what? But people who have some idea of what's going on say, well, come on. What do you think public means? You can set it to followers only and then not have any followers and nobody can see it. But if you're setting it for public, it's public. I agree, though, that the default should be private, mostly because it's the same thing when you see it, you open a bottle of vitamins and there's the desiccant in there and it says, do not eat. You're not going to eat it, but some idiot ate it. And so they have to put it on there. Do not eat this.
I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
It's exactly the same.
No, because when you open the polar thing, it doesn't say, hey, you're in the military. Your location should be private. Maybe turn this
off.
If
you're in the military, you're supposed to know that. And if you don't know that, then maybe they're not. The military's at fault, not
Well, I think this is good news because they're learning, hopefully, the second time. I think that the military should say, you know what, like, you need to be, it should be part of the guidelines. The technology is moving fast, and we need stories like this to show us that we need to keep up.
This is link bait. It's link bait. It's crap stories, in my opinion. If the military, if privacy is an issue, you should be private. You shouldn't be tweeting either. You shouldn't be doing things in public. And B, if you're most people who use these polar things or Strava, the whole point of them is to share your fabulous run with your friends and family. And other people aren't complaining. I don't even think the military is complaining. I think this article is complaining.
Okay.
Personally.
If anybody else wants to take a nap, maybe you could do it on your Casper mattress.
Well, before we say that, it is a good idea. Anybody who's using these apps, think about whether you want the information to go public. If you're using a Runkeeper app, in most cases, those people want to share that information, right? But if you don't, check the settings and make sure it's private. And you might even want to ask a friend or log in yourself, you know, go to the web and say, can anybody see my stuff? And if you're in the military, for crying out loud, you definitely should be doing this. That's really where the heat.
Service.
That's yeah, but that's where the heat should be. Is not, and it's not in the people using it. It's in their command, who's not being careful about saying, "Well, look, we want to keep this base private." But see, nobody really ever thought, "Oh, you could detect an army base by noticing that there are a lot of people running around in circles at a place that doesn't exist on the map." Wonder why? Why are all these people running around this empty area on the map? Well. It's an army base, as it turns out. Our show today brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that is revolutionizing how you sleep. They are an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. These are the guys who really started this by saying, look, you know, you don't have to have a mattress store. You could sell your mattresses instead of selling it through a middle person who's going to double the cost of the mattress. You could sell it direct, save people a ton of money. And then some smart person said, wait a minute, I want to lie on this mattress before I buy it. Said Casper. How do we solve that? Ah, I know. We let you try it for 100 nights. If at any time in the first 100 days it's not perfect, it's not what you want, you just call them. They come, they get it, they refund you every penny. There was no loss, no fuss, no muss. The original Casper mattress, like all of their mattresses, is an obsessively engineered mattress. It combines multiple supportive memory foams for a sleep surface with just the right sink, just the right bounce. People come and to our guest room and stay with us just because of the mattress. Plus, its breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulate your temperature through the night. So comfy, so soft. A Casper mattress, long-lasting comfort, long-lasting support. You can buy it online and completely risk-free. And remember, those 100-day returns means... you'll sleep like a baby. Free shipping and returns in the U.S. now in Canada and the U.K. too. So don't delay. Go to casper.com/iOS today. And we're going to give you $50 towards your select mattresses by going to casper.com/iOS today and using the promo code iOS today at checkout. Save $50 on select mattresses. casper.com/iOS today. Terms and conditions apply.
I love my Casper.
I do. I have three Casper.
You have?
I have one that I sleep on. I don't have three beds, but two of my kids have Casper.
Yeah, my kids have Caspers too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually great for that. When they go to college and they get that mattress that's this thick and it's been slept on by 800 freshmen, you'll be glad to know that Casper's right there.
We got an update from Tom. Tom last week said that the Apple website was always coming up as insecure, and you told him it was probably a problem with his router. We didn't know what router he had. He had an Asus RT-N66R, and he says, I guess it got an update. And he said, thanks for the help, and he's going to start shopping for a new router as it is a few years.
Yeah. You know, you don't think of routers as wearing out, but every few years the technology changes, and routers do wear out. They get slower. There's a lot of heat. If you use, you know, about 7 or 8 o'clock at night when you've all been watching Netflix for a couple of hours, put your hand on the router. If it's hot, that's what happens. It starts to wear out, and that heat is bad for, thermals are bad for these chips. So every few years, it's not a bad idea. You get the latest technology. You'll get firmware updates. Most new routers do get automated firmware updates, which is a nice thing.
You recommended Keybase, which I have been using. Josh wrote in to recommend also Proton email, which is encrypted. And I think you've mentioned that before.
That's a completely different thing, but okay.
But you've talked about Proton.
Yeah, mail, Keybase is not an email program. Proton mail is an email program. Mm-hmm. It claims to be secure because its servers are deep within a big mountain in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Notice I use the word claims. We can't really verify that it is secure because this is called computing. You're trusting somebody. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people look at Proton Mail and say, yeah, I think that's safe, and use it. In my opinion, Proton Mail hosts its servers in Switzerland, so all user data is protected by strict Swiss privacy laws. Well, there. Now I feel better. And look, there's a blackboard with scientific formulas on it. They must be good.
So this wasn't something you've recommended before?
We've talked about it before. If you are in a position where your life is at risk if somebody could read your email, let's say you're a dissident in Hungary or Turkey, and your email, you know, could contain something that could get you in trouble. Any web-based email solution is not guaranteed to be secure. There's only one thing to do, and that's why I recommend Keybase, which is use PGP, Pretty Good Privacy, or GNU Privacy Guard, which is an open source version of PGP. I use GPG. I love it. You'll create your own key. Do not store your private key anywhere, even Keybase. Keep your private key private, secure. Make sure you have a strong password encrypting it so no one can use it. Then publish your public key everywhere. And if you want to have secure email, you can use any email client, including ProtonMail, but make sure you encrypt it with your GPG encryption using your, using the public key of the person you're sending it to. And that's really the only way to be sure that you're absolutely secure. ProtonMail, I'm sure, is fine, but you know, you're still trusting them, mm-hmm. right? So they say they have zero access, but again, they say it. Yeah. And we don't, you know, Swiss privacy laws, as good as they are not as good as they used to be, maybe. There's no guarantee that somebody can't get that email for you. If your life is at risk, use GPG, really.
Sergio from Berlin also wrote in. He said he heard me on the new screensaver speaking about headphones and complaining that you try many, but few stay in your
here.
In your ear while you are training. And this is true. So he says he uses the Dash Pro by Braggy. And he sponsored the original Dash on Kickstarter years ago. And the new Pro version is surprisingly good. I really believe they have too many features for me and would definitely be less, should be less expensive. But they are water resistant. Swimming with them is great. They have a heart monitor, good sound for earbuds, recognize activity. Jogging and biking were scary accurate. 4 gigs of memory for your music. If you want to swim or go out without your phone. I tend to swim without my phone usually. All the controls are on the earbuds, and you can even control them with your head. The best part is they fit perfectly and don't move, and they don't look embarrassing like the AirPods. Have you tried the Braggy?
We have the Dash Pros for review. I can't remember if Jason Howell reviewed them as part of his in-ear reviews, but we have some in-house. If you want to try them, ask Anthony. They're not cheap. They're, I think, $219.
It's like I wouldn't just try them, you know, by paying $119.
No, they're more than $100, aren't they? Yeah.
Yes.
Look at that. That's 349 euros. That's a lot of money. That's the Pro. So don't be confused. They have the regular Braggy, which I frankly was not impressed by.
Oh, you weren't?
You want the Dash Pro, and these are expensive. I will recommend something a little less expensive that I think is very similar. And fits in. What we're seeing now is these, you see, they all kind of look the same. Mm-hmm. I'm reviewing the IQ Buds right now. I'll show that on the new screensavers. You get exactly the right tip. You know, it has to fit your ear. The battery, all the electronics are stored in that big blob that goes in your earlobe. And if you get the right fit, those are going to seal pretty well and they're going to be hard to fall out. I use the Jabra Elites, which I got for $149 on sale. And if you keep your eye peeled, I bet they'll have more sales. Maybe Prime Day.
Oh, Prime Day.
Yeah, which is coming up on Monday.
Yeah, we forgot to mention Prime Day is longer than 24 hours this time.
It's more than a day?
Yes.
What do they call it? Prime Double Day?
I don't know they call it Prime, but I know it's
day
longer
and a half?
Than 24 hours.
Good.
So I don't know how long it is.
Soon Prime Day will be all year long. In any event, yes, these are good. I hear they're very good. I really like the Jabra, is it the Sport Elite? They're very, also very good.
And they're like that, though.
They look just like that. And so do the IQs. So there's a certain style. Jabra Elite Sport is the one I wear. And because they're sport, they do heart rate monitoring. They do VO2 max, the oxygen consumption. You see, they look a lot alike. In fact, I think they may even fit a little bit better because you see that little flap at the top there? That goes into, you know, into your ear curve. And I think holds it in a little bit better. The sound quality I found on these is excellent. They can be used for phone calls. You know, when microphones are in your ear, I don't think they're as good as the boom mics, mm-hmm. but they're okay. And there's a new feature which I'm really liking, and I think the Dash does this as well. The Dash Pros do this as well. The IQ Buds do it too, which is you can turn on the microphone and hear what's going on.
Oh, that's good.
While you're listening to music. So for your runners,
yeah.
Because these really do seal. So you want to hear the traffic coming up behind you.
That has been a problem that I've had because I run, but I also work out in the gym. And I don't want to hear anything when I'm working out in the gym, and I don't have to. But when I'm running, I have
exactly. Or on the plane, you don't want to hear anything. What is the, I wonder what the price, yeah, they say $219. So these are a little less expensive than the Dash Pros. But again, I found them for $149.
And they also look like very easily losable.
Well, all of these are. They're just the buds. They're kind of like the AirPods.
Yeah, but then you put them in the case. They have the charging case.
Same, very similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the IQ buds are very similar. Yeah.
I'll see if I can wash off Jason's earwax and try those.
Yeah. I think he liked them. I'm trying to remember if they were his pick. He had a roundup of a lot of these exact same kind of style in-ear sport buds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's a question that I don't really have an answer for, but I know it's a problem now. Jennifer writes, I was wondering if you've done or would consider reviewing any products for use outside in hot weather and especially in really humid weather. So we live in a very mild climate. So I asked, and I just got lots of stories, 29 to be exact, of people just saying, I mean, yes, your phone turns off. We're used to that. A lot of people were saying it's worse in the cold weather. But I'm like a lot of the outdoor stuff, like my Owl camera. Does your Owl camera shut off when it's
hot?
Yeah,
that's not humidity. That's just heat. And if you remember, if you think about it, the Owl camera is sitting in the window.
In the dash. Yeah.
right there in their front window.
And
so
says,
it does. But it has circuitry that automatically turns it
down.
Off.
That's if it doesn't shut down, that's the problem.
That's when you have problems. Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you set, like all the things that we recommend, like all the, you know, outdoor
humidity is different. So there's two problems. There's heat. And there's humidity. Moisture is death to electronics. So if you've got a very humid climate, I think that would be another issue. And the reason people complain about cold is because sometimes when you go from the warm, humid indoors to the cold, frigid outdoors, the moisture and the humidity condenses in the electronics almost instantly. And it's as if you dipped it in water. So there's all sorts of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, humidity might be another problem with mold. Mm-hmm. People for years have complained if they lived in humid climates that CDs and DVDs rotted because of mold. So, you know, I know. I presume if you live in this climate, you've become aware. And if you're moving to a climate like that, then you ask your neighbors, what do you do?
So it's like when we recommend some outdoor security camera or something, and, you know, if you live in Florida, you might consider, I don't know what that would do in humidity.
Yeah. You want something that's sealed, right? Mm-hmm. So Robert's right. The well-designed equipment, like our Owly, will turn off when it's hot. Batteries, yeah. So when batteries are cold, they don't store as much. So your battery life goes down when they're cold, and as Robert points out, when batteries overheat, they could explode. So, but that's pretty hot. That's pretty hot. He's moving to Italy where it's both hot and humid. But I'm talking, I mean, that's like L.A. in the, you know, did you see that Disneyland had its highest temperature of all time this weekend? It was over 110 degrees?
Yeah. Which is, I keep hearing that, highest temperature
110 by itself is okay. Keep it out of the sun, though, right? Because that's where it goes really, really hot. And processors don't do very well when it's really, really hot.
Paul wrote in also to say that that Apple got rid of the Lyft, or Lyft got rid of the Apple Watch app.
Aww.
I never used it. I use Lyft pretty regularly, and I never could depend on my Apple Watch
I've used Uber on the Apple Watch, and it's kind of fun. But you're right. It doesn't give you as much information, frankly, as the app. So you can press it to call it, which is helpful. If you're like, you're trying to get out of a situation, I don't know, maybe this is just me that I'm always trying to get out of situations.
Yeah, but he's trying to escape.
But it's helpful when you just go, I got to get out of here. And my car is there. But I think usually with Uber, I would like to see the driver where, you know, the maps, all the stuff that the app does. And I would imagine that's why Lyft removes the app from the watch. Because all it does is summon.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do all the other nice stuff. It looks like I don't see Uber on here anymore either. Maybe Uber removed its, it's there.
Well, my thing is, you know, noticing using the workflow app on my watch, I was reminded that it has to be a very specific kind of app to make it useful to be an Apple Watch app.
Just because
you have an app doesn't mean it's going to work great on the Apple Watch.
So here's the Uber. I think I just called a car.
you called a Uber.
I called a Uber.
Uber's one of our sponsors, we should say.
Oh, we should mention that, yeah. So So the nearest, so this is sort of useful. It says the nearest, I guess it's just doing an Uber XL. I don't know if I can change that. The nearest whatever is
somewhere.
11 minutes, and I could press that button to request it. So, I mean, I think that's useful, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, I'm sorry that Lyft, I would guess that the reason they took it off is they want people to use the app.
Yeah. People weren't using it. But, yeah, I want to know what your favorite Apple Watch apps are. Email me at megan@twit.tv.
We should do a whole show on that.
We should.
We haven't done that in a while.
Because it's just, we haven't. So,
yeah,
tell me your favorite Apple Watch apps. You can tweet at me, Megan Maroney, too.
There was a woman who was so hot in L.A., her foot sunk into the tarmac, and she couldn't get out. They had to call rescue vehicles.
What? Yeah. Like quicksand?
Well, I mean, she wasn't like, she didn't sink all the way, but she got stuck.
Yeah.
More than her shoe, obviously, or she just had taken her shoe off. Yeah, she's fine.
Oh.
But yeah, just, it's, well, tar gets soft in the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's time for us to wear some hats.
Already?
Mm-hmm.
Golly, that time has come. I have an appropriate hat for my app cap.
I have.
Safety first.
An appropriate app for my app cap.
I love that.
Burk
got that for you, didn't
he? He did. And last time I put it on, I just nearly choked myself.
It's a bicycle helmet that looks like R2-D2's head.
I think, is it R2-D2 or is...
Or did I do that wrong? It's BB-8. It's BB-8. Yeah. It's a robot. Robot, schmobot.
It's a droid.
See, I don't think... I know they call them droids. But traditionally, an android is a robot that looks human. I don't think either BB-8 or R2-D2 appears human. C-3PO is an android.
Well, what if they, I mean, they have human characteristics.
Well,
I think that BB-8 is more like canine. I think more
there's
like
our
a dog.
Little BB-8. Yeah, he is kind of like a puppy.
We have an R2-D2 back there, too.
Yeah.
Okay, we're wearing these hats, caps.
Why aren't we wearing these caps?
Because it's app cap time, which means that we're going to talk about the apps that we've been using this week, our favorites. An app rhymes with cap.
App
another word for cat.
Yes.
And it's also just reward to you for getting this far in the show. Thank you.
Thank God.
Mine is called Hatch.
Is that the egg you were hatching?
Yes. I have a bit of a problem focusing.
Okay.
Like if I'm trying to work, I might all of a sudden think that it's time for me to
read your email.
Yeah.
Oh. Read your messages. Get an Uber.
And those notifications don't help me at all because they're just like,
we need you.
And so I found this app. Actually, Karsten recommended it to me. Karsten, our producer, who knows how unfocused I am. It's called Hatch, and it's like Pokemon Go, but for focus. So you can set the timer. I've set it for 5 minutes, and we only have a minute left.
It's like the tomato timer, kind of.
Kind of, yeah, but then you get rewarded. So let's say, oh, no, I have to check my email. I give up. Oh, then, oh, no.
Oh, the egg dissolves.
It dissolved.
And
so,
that baby bird will never be born.
Yeah.
You just killed a baby bird.
Well, or a baby something.
Josh is going to get mad at you.
Here are all the things. So it's like Pokemon Go. I have some
you collect
common, some uncommon. I haven't gotten any rare ones.
Yeah.
So like Hammerton, which we were looking at early.
You just got that.
I have two of them. And
nice.
It's a hammerhead shark.
That's actually a good idea. Pokemon Go, same idea. It rewards, you get eggs, and they hatch based on how far you've walked.
Mm-hmm.
These are good. Apparently, eggs are considered a good reward.
Right. So if I want to stay away from my phone for like 90 minutes, I'm likely to get even longer sessions, have better creatures.
If this is in the background, does the timer still work? Like if you do something else, or you have to keep that on your...
No. Like let's see if I check Twitter...
Yeah, well, first of all, your egg should dissolve then, right?
Yes, it should, shouldn't it? Let's see if it did. Oh, no!
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's really for other tasks on your phone. You have to, basically you've locked that phone to the hatch.
Right. So, and you can put it on the lock screen
that.
So it doesn't use too much battery. I also use Moment, which is the app that tells you how much time you've spent on your phone, and this counts
like
as that time. So I've really been, my Moment's stats are all messed up.
But you should be happy.
Yes, it's true.
You're doing hatching.
Mm-hmm. I'm hatching. So this app, is called Hatch, and it is free.
Oh, Hatch, not Hatcher.
No, Hatch, a brain-focused game. So get it if you have trouble focusing on what you're doing.
Boy, there's a lot of hatches. Family, Hatch, family, Hatch, baby.
Hatch, brain-focused
game. Hatch, a brain-focused game. That's it. All right, got it.
And
got it.
Yeah, or you could just set it on your phone and use your iPad, of course. But don't do that. Don't do that. So I'm gonna set it right now, 5 minutes, because I really shouldn't be checking my email while I'm doing this show.
Or downloading other apps. Mm-mm. But you might want to download this. This, I think, your boys would enjoy. Boys like balls.
Mm-hmm.
Girls like balls, too. I'm not saying they don't. But there's just something about boys and throwing things. This is an Apple exclusive. It's sold only by Apple. It's called the Impossible Game Ball, and it's expensive.
How hard can you toss it?
So
Game Ball LEO connected.
Hashtag okay. Leo.
No, I named it. You can name your ball.
You named it after yourself?
Yeah.
The game ball up to record.
Well, you only get three letters. That happens to be useful for me because okay. I could have called it Meg, but
you could have.
Next time, you can call your ball Meg.
I will.
So toss the game ball up to move. So this has inside it, first of all, the charging is so cool. You charge it, it's got capacitive charging. So this has two AA batteries in it. And see, it's got two little pins. And you find the pins on the ball and you put it in here like this. And it charges to 100% within 20 seconds.
So let me use the ball to control.
Yeah, let me just charge it all up because we want to be fully charged. Now there's accelerometers in this, so watch. I can move forward by just
tap the game ball two times to select. You can always touch to navigate.
You can touch the screen.
So navigation can be turned off in settings.
So this gives.
Now let's learn how the game ball works.
This gives you assignments, but we'll first learn
how. Toss it?
How high can you toss it? Should we toss it? Whoa! 9.9 feet.
Is made specifically for this app's games. Do not spike, punt, or abuse it.
Oh.
Do not spike.
Let's play punt some real
or
games.
Abuse it.
Punt or abuse it. Yeah, because it's got
this
electronics
is the
in it.
Impossible home screen. You can get back to this screen at any time by clicking the home icon.
So that's, as you can tell, a annoying automated voice, but that's okay. You get kind of used to it. So shall we play a game?
Complete
yes. Unique challenges with your game ball.
I'm shaking it because I want to skip this.
Based on how well you complete each challenge.
Okay, so I've played some games already, as you can see. But let me. So these are assignments. There's other games you can play. There's head-to-head play. Sport Lab is fun. For instance, you know, there's assignments like see.
Toss your game ball to see key metrics.
So let's do this. Watch, I'm going to toss it. And I'm going to learn some key metrics as I toss it. This is not easy because we have a lot of lights. Now you know why I'm wearing a helmet.
Yeah. 3.0.0.9.
That's the bouncing. There's my ball. It's spun a lot. Okay, do not spike it. Okay, dude, let's do it again. Clear all data. Ready?
2.2.
I threw it 2.5 feet. It went 5 miles an hour. It had 0.7 seconds airtime. It was spinning at a rotation rate of 94 RPM, and I caught it with 14 grams of catch force.
That's really good catch force.
Isn't that interesting? So you could play with all sorts of stuff, but there's actual games. You want to play Hot Potato?
Yes.
Yes. Hot Taters. Okay.
What does that mean?
Don't get caught holding the ball. End the game when there's only one player.
It's just us. We're playing with everyone in the studio.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Go.
So who did it blow up? It blew up in midair. Who did it blow up on?
Airtime is how we measure experience points, or XP for short. Start at rookie and build to be a Hall of Fame game baller.
You gotta be a baller.
Compete with your friends and have
it's
fun.
It's actually, I think kids would really enjoy this.
I'm enjoying it.
Because it gives you assignments, right? And there's not an unlimited number of games, but it will give you new missions every day if you want. Here's a water balloon toss game. Now, this is interesting, okay? The idea is each toss has to be longer than the one before it, so we can't play it because we're sitting down. And then you have to catch it with very little force, very soft hands, because if you catch it too hard, So that's a fun one.
That is
right?
fun.
There are also, if you have more than one game ball, there are games you can play. You're probably not going to. You know why? It's $100.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I should have told you that right up.
Wait, there. The ball itself is $100 or the extra games?
The ball is $100. This one would be fun if you have friends that you like.
Take turns holding the ball.
Right? So the idea is
a little bit like
keep it from moving.
Shaking
yeah, yeah, yeah. I got the ball. I got the ball. I got the ball. I got the ball.
Three rounds and you win the game.
So you can see, these kids are the right age. What are they, about 10, 11, 12?
Three.
I think Milo and Huck would enjoy this.
Go.
Go ahead, try to get it.
Oh, I'm supposed to get it from you? This is just a. This
it's
is exactly
it's an
like
exercise
this show.
In stupidity. Okay, just like this show. So there's many, many little games you can play. I actually enjoyed the free play science things like how far can you roll it, you know, without hitting anything or you know. So these
Pass
are
your game ball to see key metrics.
Oh, we already did that one. So let's go back. I've been just mainly sticking with the impossible ball. All right. So this just unlocks new levels
challenges with your
as you
ball.
Do the challenges. So 12-second shake.
To get 750 points in 12 seconds.
This one's pretty easy.
3, 2, 1, go.
I did it. You can actually get breathless just doing this.
You can, yes.
3 stars. Preparing next challenge.
Oh, see, so now I'm going to next challenge.
Toss and catch until you reach exactly five feet in 15 seconds.
Doesn't this look kind of fun?
I love everything about it.
It's too bad it's $100. Yeah.
Like it
only
feels
in
like
the Apple Store.
I hope they're giving it to like schools and stuff as maybe a like discount. I mean, you could get an educator's discount.
So the ball itself is inflatable, and in fact, it has a hole for a pin. So it is. It's firm, but you can make it firmer or softer if you want.
Go.
Okay.
3 feet to go. 2 feet to go.
Ball dropped. I caught it too hard, probably. Mm. So. There you get the idea. There's quite a few games. Inside here, accelerometer, obviously, it's measuring. It can measure force. It can measure spin. It can measure distance. I don't know how it does that. It's pretty cool.
I would suggest keeping that away from dogs. My
dog will eat it.
Yeah.
And it's too expensive to be a dog toy. The impossible game ball, only available from the Apple Store. And now, how's your egg doing?
I'm ready to hatch because I was totally focused on everything you were saying. And so,
you didn't launch anything else.
No, I didn't. And what are we going to get?
An eight-armed elephant.
Yeah, that's Tembo.
Tembo.
He is species Loxodonta africana with tardigrade. A lot of things.
Oh, he's a tardigrade. It's a tardigrade elephant.
Yeah. So once elephants became extinct, they mixed their cells with tardigrades.
To make little tiny.
Yeah.
To make little tiny elephants.
Yes.
Aw, isn't that cute?
The Tembo has a great capacity for compassion, whether caring for a wounded friend, showing grief when visiting the bones of a deceased loved one, or recognizing a long lost friend. Always sure to initiate a jovial greeting ceremony consisting of spinning in circles, flapping their ears.
But they don't do any of that because it's just that, right? You don't actually have an animation or anything.
No, but I could share that story. No, there was a little bit of an animation. You saw that.
I saw that.
When it hatched out of the egg. Yeah. So I'm going to work on focusing, rare and legendary. And
I'm going to work on workflow. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is today's iOS Today. We do this show on Tuesdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern time, if you want to come by and visit 1600 UTC. You can watch at twit.tv/live or join us in studio. We had two nice. So usually when we have people here for the show, we assume they're here for Mac Break Weekly. But since Jason and Chris got here so early in the morning, I figured they were here for this show.
They're here for both.
Both. Oh, it's a double feature. And it's free, but you do have to email tickets at twit.tv. If you're going to be in the Petaluma area, email us and let us know. Of course, you will also want to email us I got such a sad email from a woman, people from Canada who came down to visit and we weren't here. That's why you have to email tickets at twit.tv to make sure we're going to be here because we're not here all the time.
And then Fridays, we don't even open the door. We're not, we have to turn you
Thursday and Friday, the door's not, oh, maybe Thursday it's open because of Tech News Weekly.
Friday, I think it's both.
Monday and Friday, we don't have the door open because we don't have an armed guard. So we only open the doors when there's an armed guard who can shoot you. That's just the way it is in the world today. I'm sad to say. That's, again, why you really want to email tickets at twit.tv and let us know. Give us a heads up. You can also, that's pretty grim. I'm sorry I brought us all down.
Yeah.
You can also get the show on demand at your convenience. No danger, no risk of being harmed if you just go to twit.tv/iOS. Or subscribe in your favorite podcatcher. How can Megan Maroney, how can people ask us a question or send us a video?
Please just email me directly, Megan@twit.tv. Let me know you have a video to send, and then I will open it. Or put it up on YouTube and send me the
link. Or we'll have Mo come visit you.
Yes. Yeah, you can send the email box always open. You don't have to call first or anything like that. It's or Megan Maroney on the Twitters. I love hearing from you there as well.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week on iOS Today. Bye-bye. I'm not going to throw this at you.